Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Left to Be Talked. Today is Thursday, October 19th, and this episode is brought to you by Catatonic, catatonic.com. If you like my stickers, you like any kind of artwork you need to be done by some cool people, hit up catatonic.com. I always fuck up my ads. Catatonic, C-A-D-A-T-O-N-I-C, catatonic.com. Everybody's been emailing me like, hey, what's that place that made your stickers? Write it down. Come on, man. Catatonic.com. They made my stickers. They do all kinds of stuff. They are a one-stop art shop. If you're a small business, a rock and roll band, maybe you, a rapper, a comedian, an actor, whatever, you need some stickers, you want to spread the word, you want to shoot your art ideas around town, hit them up. They also can make some fantastic, cool 3D toys. Christmas is coming up. Maybe you need a 3D toy. Whatever you can draw on a napkin, they can make into a toy. How fucking cool is that? Hit them up. Great, great company. They made all my stickers, every one that you've ever seen. And I love the guys. Big supporters of Let There Be Talk. Guys, a great episode today. I'm just back from New York. Got back last night, and I can't tell you how much I'm loving New York more and more and more. Still haven't been there in the winter, so. But this episode is very cool because I bring Ari Shaffir on, who has been nothing but a great friend and a help to me and the comedy community over the years. He's the type of guy you could just go up and ask him any kind of question or advice on comedy, and he'll try to help you. Very rare in the biz, you know, very rare that somebody this cool comes along and just shares all his experiences with you. Today's experience he shares with me is how to move to New York City. Maybe you got dreams. Maybe you're a comedian. A lot of comedians, this will be great to listen to. Or anybody that lives somewhere that you don't like and you always thought, wow, I'd love to move to New York. It sounds impossible when you listen to this podcast, but then after I did the podcast with him, I started searching around, and it's not that hard, but you do need to have rich parents or rob a bank or sell everything you own to get into the apartment, because you're going to find out on here that it's not your standard way of getting an apartment. It's not just look in the newspaper, call the guy and go, I'm interested in your apartment. And he goes, oh, very cool. Come by and see it. Hope you like it. I really want a tenant. No, it's not like that at all. It's something good. There's going to be a million people, of course, lined up for it. And if it's shitty, there's going to be 500,000 people lined up for it. And you better have all your paperwork in order. You know, tax forms, check stubs, co-signers, whatever you need. You need to come fully armed to get a place. And, you know, people are like, fuck all that. But, you know, you know what I find in life? And my whole life that I've been living, nothing good is easy. Nothing. Being a great comic, not easy. Great actor, not easy. Anything, a great race car driver, anything you want to do, a great apartment. That you never hear like, yeah, man, I just, you know, just got this one random. No, it's hard. You got to go out. You got to fucking want it. And then when you do get it, it fucking feels good because you're like, man, I busted my ass for this place. That being said, any of my listeners out there, come on, you got an uncle or a grandfather that owns a building in Manhattan? Here, hook me up. That's how I feel you get the best stuff. At the end of the day, it's always like, oh, yeah, I got a friend. He owns a building. I'll totally talk to him for you or whatever. So you have to constantly, if you want to move to New York, you know, just talk to everyone. That's what I was doing. Like, hey, man, where do you live? Anything there? You know anybody? That's the only way, man, because at the end of the day, that's how you're going to find the good shit. So that being said, email me. Come on, you guys got something. I am flirting with the idea of moving to New York. I love the electricity of it as a comedian, the riding the subways, doing tons of gigs every night, working my ass off. You know, it reminds me of when I first started comedy in LA, just doing like 4, 5, 6 open mics a day, a night. I could still do that, yeah, but it's crazy. It's getting crazier and crazier on the motorcycle, man. I got ran over, of course, last year, so nonstop, I'm always like, let's see, is that 5 minutes worth my life? I guess it is. Let's go do it. So, you know, with New York, you just jump on the subway, you come up, you go do your spot, you get in the subway, go to another spot, whatever. It feels alive. I like the flavor. I love LA also, and I love San Francisco. San Francisco's done. LA is incredible, but I feel for me that to be a full blown great comedian, I'd like to do some New York for a while. And I just was there again 8 days and had the greatest time. I'm sure it could wear on me after a while. It could eat me up. But what doesn't, you know? People are like, oh, there's so many people. It's crazy. Oh, that costs a lot of money and everything. You know what I'm finding? Everywhere costs a lot of money now. That's good, like I've said before. If it's good, it costs a lot of money. And you just try to find your way. You find your way. Ari comes on today. We are on our way to do a casino gig, which is hilarious. And he tells us exactly what he went through to be a bi-coastal comedian. And as much as I think he's a bi-coastal comedian, I can tell that he's definitely settling into the great New York scene and probably will be here less and less over the years. That being said, I want to thank Ari for letting me stay at his place. It really gave me a vibe of what it'd be like to live in Alphabet City. And I think that's a great way to adventure. If you have a friend that lives in New York, which is always tough, you know, try to stay at their place for a week. See if you like it. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, if you can. I also want to give a special shout out to Marcus Price, who is my great friend and was also a guest on Let There Be Talk. You might remember him, the photographer for Amy Schumer and Hannibal. He let me sleep on his couch. I got a little taste of Brooklyn, and that was cool. I liked Brooklyn a lot. I like Williamsburg. I did a show out at the Knitting Factory, and that area was great. So, you know, you got to figure out where you'd want to live, too. Are you okay with living far away from the city, like 40 minutes on a subway? I wouldn't do that. I'm just used to living exactly in the spots, pay more, and have less stress. But if you can't pay more, then I say, you know, I always look at it as if you can't do it right, don't do it, because it'll probably end up making you depressed and miserable, and then you've got nothing but, you know, a bad move on your hands. As much as I always go with my gut instinct and go for it, I also definitely do deep research before I go with my gut instinct. So my gut instinct says, yeah, move to New York tomorrow. But then also I'm like, yeah, but where and how? Let's look into this so it's great when I get there and I can do what I'm there to do, comedy, instead of trying to survive. Because once you get into that fucking shitty mode, it's hard to concentrate on what you're there to do. Anyway, enough of that. This is also a special two-part episode. So the first half is Ari and I on a car ride up to Yonkers. And then the second half comes to you from a couple weeks ago when I co-hosted the Cat House 30th anniversary with Ricky Rackman. Ricky Rackman is definitely someone special to me. I love this man. He is pure rock and roll. And he has always included me in cool shit. And he's always texting me, giving me little shout outs here and there of, hey, man, just heard your podcast. I love it. Hey, let's go riding. Hey, what are you up to? Come to this, whatever. He's always there. And he's just a great fucking friend and a longtime friend. And speaking of movers, he moved to North Carolina, which I thought was very ballsy. Your whole life you live in L.A. and then boom, you're in North Carolina. Talk about a change. Anyway, it was great. He had me co-host with him over a couple nights a few weeks ago. It was the farewell to Cat House, and he had all kinds of great bands play and family and friends there, and it was just a fucking sea of love, as corny as that sounds. It was nothing but love when you see everybody's faces smiling like, hey, we're all here, we're still alive, and we still love rock and roll. And I interviewed people backstage. It gives you a little flavor of how crazy one of those multi-band gigs are. I hope you enjoy it. And a lot of these guests have either been on the show or will be on future episodes, which I'm looking forward to. So we're going to get into that. And I want to say one thing before I do get into the episode. Twisted Sister was the secret guest at Cat House 30th, the first night. And I got to tell you, it had been probably maybe 25 years or 30 since I saw Twisted Sister live. And I really really didn't pay much attention to them after I wasn't a kid anymore. And as I watched Dee Snider and the guys play this night, I realized I had blown it. I blew it over all these years of not going to see them. I'm glad I did get to see this special thing because they're not playing together anymore. And at the time when they made the announcement, it just kind of blew by me and I didn't think much of it. And as I watched them play four songs, and Dee Snider blew my fucking head off. And you might listen to this going, Dee Snider, oh man, oh, that banner. Or maybe you love Twisted Sister, whatever. But immediately I realized, holy shit, this guy, you know, what a legend. His voice fucking blew my head off. His energy, this guy is a next level front man. And I just really hadn't thought about it in 25, 30 years. And now I'm going to dive into the rabbit hole and look at that documentary on them. And I've just been playing their record nonstop. The one, of course, Stay Hungry. They've got a few records. I've got them on vinyl. But Stay Hungry, you know, I think what it was I just kind of got a little burnt on that. We're not going to take it. But if you take that out of the equation, Stay Hungry is a fucking masterpiece record, man, of rock. You know, maybe you think they're cheesy because of their outfits or what, or maybe whatever. But I'll tell you what, this record came out in 1984. I was a senior in high school, and it fucking crushes right now. Stay Hungry, the song, is mind-boggling, man, how great it is. And it's a great fucking... a great piece of advice. Stay hungry. The Price, The Beast, SMF, you know, Captain Howdy. This thing is fucking great. Anyway, so let's get into it. Before I do get into it, the episode is brought to you by El Cajon Harley Davidson, and I want to give them big love. They just fixed my Road King. It had some service issues. Turned out it was just a fucking taillight. The brake light was out. Yeah, that's one thing you never know. If nobody tells you, yo, man, your brake light's out, you can ride around for fucking a year until you get pulled over and you've had a couple beers, you know, and you don't even know. And the cop's like, you know why I pulled you over? And you're like, oh, because I'm fucking loaded. And he's like, oh, and you just give yourself away. And he's like, no, your brake light's out, but now you got a DUI. The point of that is get your bike in there and get serviced. El Cajon Harley, man. Have them go through your bike. Don't be out on the road like me with no fucking brake light, man. I could have got ran over again. Go get your bike serviced or get a new bike. Get some tires. Get some motor clothes. I love them. I love them. And also some of you guys have been buying some bikes there. How fucking cool is that? Some of my listeners. Thank you, man. The sponsorship is, it's proof. See, I tell these people, look, my listeners, they like to fucking, they like to buy shit, man. You better advertise on there. El Cajon Harley. And also don't forget, they're going to have the Fright Night movie coming up. They got a movie night there. They got all kinds of the brand new 2017 Milwaukee 8 engine baggers there. Get yourself a motorcycle from El Cajon Harley. Hit them up, elcajonharley.com. Follow them on Twitter. Follow them on Instagram. And go see my boy Greg. Get your bike serviced or whatever you need. They got everything you need. Harley Davidson. Thank you. And, oh, one last thing. Fuck, I almost forgot to tell you where I'm at. I'm at Fresno tomorrow at the Warner District. I'm trying to find the fucking venue. Anyway, I'm in Fresno tomorrow at the Warner District Friday night, October 20th, and then I'm going to be in San Jose, October 27th through the 30th with Russell Peters at the Improv, and then don't sleep, Sacramento, I'm coming back. Get tickets now. Get tickets now. November 10th, 11th, and 12th, I'm going to be at the Punchline in Sacramento, and then Punchline again in San Francisco, December 15th, 16th, 17th. Get your tickets, all these shows. New Year's Eve, I'm going to be in San Diego with Big J Okerson. That's going to be fucking great, New Year's Eve. So great run of shows coming up. And keep leaving those reviews. Trying to get to 1,000. What am I at right now? Let's look real quick. I think I'm at like 730. Leave a damn review. Come on Instagram, on iTunes. It takes 5 seconds. Leave that review and subscribe and tell your friends about Let There Be Talk. Right now, let's keep the candles lit. Here he is, Ari Shaffir and Ricky Rackman. All right, thanks for tuning in another episode of Let There Be Talk. This one is...
I do not thank you.
Thank you?
No, I just said thanks. And I was like, no thanks for me.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm being stupid.
Unusual episode. My guest, we're in New York City in the back of a town car going to a casino. Ari Shaffir.
Yonkers.
Wait, is Yonkers the town or the casino?
Oh, it's a town.
Oh, it's a town.
Casino's in Yonkers.
Have you done this gig?
No, I've been to Yonkers once.
Yeah.
Where Doug Interrupts Movies. One of those things.
They got a comedy club out there or something?
No, it was an Alamo Draft House, and you sit there and like three people get on a mic. Me, Doug, and who was the last guy? I forget. And you just interrupt the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just some old, he does old movies, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I was thinking about it today. I've learned a lot from you, man. Like, I learned how to podcast from you.
Oh, yeah.
I learned a lot about comedy from you. I learned about, renter's rights back in your LA apartment.
That's right, when they're trying to kick people out.
Yeah.
They're fucking with you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then
that
I talked
on the hill.
Yeah. Then I talked to you and you're like, oh, you gotta get a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, next
they'll tell you stuff that's just not true.
It's so right.
They'll be like, oh, you gotta leave in 30 days. And you're like, no, you don't.
It's funny because they just gave me the notice and I thought, oh, I gotta move. And yeah. I was talking to you, you're like, oh, no, they gotta pay you to move.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I was like, why pay me? Like, you think it's a lot, and then as soon as you move, it's just instantly gone.
Right.
Because now I'm in the new rent world.
Right. You gotta pay way more rent.
Yeah, way more rent.
Like, it almost like pays a difference for a year.
Yeah, then first and last.
Yeah.
And then...
You get your deposit back too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't just kick you out.
No. It's awesome. And now I'm here in New York because you've been doing something for the last couple years, Bicoastal Comic. So it's
going back and forth.
Going back and forth. And I see, you know, it's funny because at first I was like, oh man, he's moving. Like, I mean, the Comedy Store is like your home and stuff. But then you realize you got to get out there, right?
Yeah. I mean, when I started the store, there was always like, they always told me, like, the point is to get in here so you can get out of here. I didn't understand what it meant. And I don't quite agree with it. But they meant like Roseanne Barr gets in there and then she, like, then goes on to sitcoms and never comes back.
Right.
You know? That's what they meant, but it's not quite that. But the point is, like, that's not the end all. You know, yeah, it is my home, but it's like it got me to a good place in comedy, and now I can go do, you know, wherever I want in the world.
Yeah, you know? And you've been traveling around the world like crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah. August and September, I was all over Europe and Scandinavia. The UK and Scandinavia, really.
Just out there doing comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it is crazy. People know me out there. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, it's all from the podcast?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
It's so funny because I love talking to you because, you know, you immediately break down all the, you just shut down all the rules and the gatekeepers of like, oh, you can't do that and you got to do this and that, right?
Why?
Yeah, and you're like, no, just do a podcast and then live your life.
Explain to me why.
Yeah.
that we've been doing it is not the right reason.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So now you're
you got to give me a reason.
You're out here, and you got an apartment out here, and it was interesting because I was thinking like, oh man, maybe I'll move out here, and then immediately you just go like, whoa, you need like big money to
move.
The
rents are crazy, yeah.
The rents are crazy, and it's totally different out here. You got to get like a broker and everything, right?
Oh man, yeah.
So
man,
you get a first apartment.
It's real renters, like. Are the dominant ones here. So yeah, they have all these brokers. So there's two ways. You can go down Craigslist, but it's shitty things. But they have these fee rentals. So you gotta pay some guy. In LA, if you go on West Side, if you're an apartment, right? If you own an apartment and you wanna, your tenant moved out, you wanna re-rent it, you pay West Side Rentals to put it up on there. I don't know how much they pay, you know. Or you go to, or you just put a sign in the front of the, you know, front of the building. Yeah, and you try to fill it that way, you know. Maybe take an ads out on Craigslist, whatever, and please come. You know, we're having open houses day, however they get it. Here, they don't do that. They give the brokers nothing. The brokers take money from the new client, from the new tenant, and they take between a month and a half and 2 months' rent.
And it's just whatever they decide?
They have different fees. It's either 15% of your year or 10% of your yearly rent.
And how do the brokers get these rentals?
So the landlords go to the broker and say, hey, you know, put this out. They probably pay the brokers too, actually. Why else would they? Maybe the brokers pay the landlords. I'm not really sure. The brokers might pay the landlords for the right to, because a lot of brokers have the same places. You get some broker and be like, I'll show you a good new place. I'm like, I saw this 3 weeks ago, man, by somebody else. And then they go, well, I'd rather you only use me. I'm like, yeah, of course you'd rather that.
Yeah.
Because you're not showing me everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You show me everything, yeah, I'll just use you. But you didn't show me that, and that guy did.
So multiple brokers have an apartment. It's just not just one.
And they all just show it. So in LA, you can actually, for upscale ones, you can ask a guy like, hey, find me all the good, you know, apartments. If I'm getting a $5,000 a month place in Marina Del Rey, it's like, hey, you, find me all the places. I'm not going to go door to door. You know, I'm a Wall Street guy.
Totally.
You know, so you go look for me, and that's a service they would do, and that's fine. That's an over-the-top service. Kind of like when you have free healthcare. It's like you can also pay for healthcare on your own.
Yeah.
You know, if you want. But like, so that's what it would be in LA. It's like, hey, help me find stuff.
Yeah.
Here, you can't find the stuff unless you have a broker.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So those listings, like, you can't get in there without a broker.
Now,
you'd have to have somehow found about it, but they don't have a West Side Rentals. So now they have a few sites like RDNY, Free, I forget what else they're called, but like different ones where it's like, we'll just composite these for you, become like their own West Side Rentals. You pay, you know, $60, $100 for a year. And then, you know, you get access to all of them. Still doesn't have all of them, though.
Right.
So it does not have all of them. It has less than half of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Padmapper, that's another one. So, Yeah, I went back between brokers and non-brokers, you know, looking at different ones. And
so the first time you come out here, you're just thinking you're going to hit Craigslist and find some stuff?
Yeah, find a place, whatever, see if there's a Westside Rentals. There's not, you know, and then you go to Craigslist and you can go look for fee rentals or no fee rentals. So the brokers will also take out ads on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Sometimes the brokers will show you no fee rentals and they'll charge their fee for finding it for you.
What a fucking...
Yeah, but that's what they would be in L.A. In L.A., there'd be no fee, but they're like, I'm doing the service of looking for you. And it's like, okay, fine. But they'll go on Craigslist and say, hey, I have this place that's available. And you're like, okay, but you could have found that on your own. So it's like, it's just a weird system. And so sometimes you can go on Craigslist and you go, oh, only no-fee apartments. Only look for the ones with no-fee. And then you get there, and they're like, cool. I'm like, yeah, I like it. No fee, right? They're like, yeah, no fee. And they're like, yeah, okay, I like it. I'll take it. Like, cool. Also, yeah, there's a massive fee. And you're like, but you said no fee. And they're like, I know, right? And, like, and it just fucking rot. It's just so shitty, especially compared to this. So how most people get, especially when they have roommates, if they're 23, 24 coming here, they find a roommate.
Yeah.
They find the place they're already in. The roommate, let's say there's a three-bedroom.
Room
two of the roommates, get a room. They meet with 10 different people, who, you know, 15 people who want to come, and they decide who they want to be their roommate.
Right.
You get a horror story that way, but you also find good friends that way.
Yep.
But if you want to live alone, no one's bringing you in.
Yeah.
You know? It's just a shitty system, and everything's so expensive to begin with. But then you got to pay an extra, like, honestly, man, $3,000 to $5,000 to a broker just to move in. And they go, well, if you stay 2 years, it's only being ends up like 7%. I'm like, dude, I know how money works.
Wow.
Like, that's, no, it's still paying you $3,000 to $5,000.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not.
That's insane. So once you say, okay, I want the place, you give the broker his money, and then do you give the apartment the first and last?
Yep.
Wow. So you're looking at like $10,000.
Yeah, it's a massive amount of money up front. Now, also, what you end up doing is they don't rent to everybody because the laws here are so favor the renter.
Oh, it's
you
different.
And I, that they can't kick you out. And so if you just get there for a month and then go, hey, I'm not paying rent.
Yeah.
It's a 9-month process to kick you out.
Wow.
So they really want to be sure they're getting somebody. So they make you prove that you pay between 40 and 80 times the rent.
Wow.
So I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, especially the 75 times rent places where I'm like, I don't make more than 70. That means if you're getting $1,000 a month apartment, which you're not.
Yeah.
By the way, let's say it's a $2,000 a month apartment.
Yep.
You need to make $150,000 a year.
Yeah.
But you're like, I can afford this if I make $70,000 a year.
Yeah.
You know?
But they don't care. They want super parachute.
So then you got to get a co-signer. Someone to co-sign the loan. So I had to get Ren Azizi or Joe Rogan, and I had to get them to like give me access to like, let me see your bank statement so I can show them like this guy's co-signed.
Well, you had to get a co-signer.
Yeah. So Ren Azizi co-signed for me. I was like, dude, I'll never be late. But if I am late, if something happens to me, they'll go after Steve.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
God,
they're so paranoid.
Yeah.
From squatters. That works two different ways. Like, just garbage people moved in and went, I'm never leaving.
Yeah.
And fucking it
so
up.
So it's so hard. But also at the same time, once you are in, they cannot kick you out.
Yeah.
But they can raise your rent up to 16%.
Oh, it's not 3% like LA?
No.
16.
Effectively kicking you out. Whatever.
Right.
So my first year, I got an apartment for $1,950. Did not realize how good a deal it was.
Yeah.
And they wanted to raise the rent to 22, one bedroom place. I was like, that's crazy. Raised me $250. I've been here for a year. And I was like, I'll just play the market. And I played and lost.
Whoa.
That was by far the cheapest place I could find, decent in that neighborhood.
But
and
that
it was a
lady
good place.
Sucked, right? That was the one that was.
She sucked, yeah. And like, the next door neighbor would always bang when I was just talking during the day.
Yeah, like you moved in and then they were like.
Come to think.
Hey, you're podcasting.
Yeah, you're podcasting. You're doing a business there. I'm like, that's not a business. Shut up. I'm just filming something in my place. And then they said we suggest you leave.
We suggest you leave.
Which is like, honestly, they couldn't kick me out, so they're just trying to like, it's like when a cop pulls you over and he goes, can you open the trunk please? And they say it like in a question because they're not allowed to ask you to open the trunk.
Right.
So they have to ask permission.
Yeah.
But they can't say open the trunk.
Yeah.
Because then that's illegal search and seizure. So they say really firmly, can you please open the trunk, sir?
Yeah.
Like, why? I'm like, sir, please open the trunk.
Yeah.
You know? And
then
you're like, okay, and you crack it open, that's where your crack is. You know? But
So they said, we suggest you leave.
Yeah.
That was the owners?
Yeah. And that's that note I got on Thanksgiving under my door. But honestly, I already knew I was going to leave for the winter.
Yeah.
So to me, it was like, well, I'm saving 3 months rent because I would have been staying. I would have been like leaving it fallow for 3 to 4 months.
And what'd you do with your furniture? Just throw it away or storage?
Storage.
Yeah.
$60 a month storage, you know, instead of $2,000 a month for whatever.
Right.
So I moved it all in there. Then when I got back, I I got an Airbnb for a month and looked for a place.
And so you're back to the grind.
Back to the grind.
And you, now, though, you kind of knew the city because you'd been here a year.
City Casino, man.
And you knew, okay, I want to find a different neighborhood. How did you pick neighborhoods? Because every this
well, I did. I didn't know, but I thought I wanted to be at this Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
So I figured I wanted to walk home from the Comedy Cellar.
Right.
So I did a 30-minute like radius, walking radius around there, and I was like, I want to be within 30 minutes.
Right.
So my first place was at 11th and B. My second place was on 4th. But I liked the neighborhood. I liked the East Village.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot.
Alphabet City.
Mm-hmm. And the West Village is more expensive. And in between is boring. I didn't want to be up midtown either. So I guess we can finish this upstairs. But
yeah.
So yeah, and then I got my next place on 4th and 4th between 1st and 2nd. And all right, let's go upstairs.
Okay, let me pause it and then we'll
go on. All right, so we just did. You want to explain it?
Yeah, we just did. We were riding the car up to Yonkers, was it?
Yonkers, yeah.
And
at Pirate Casino.
And we're going to go do this casino. And we're talking about Ari's rent and everything, and then we get there, and you tell it.
Well, all right. First of all, we just like, all right, do we get food? We're going to eat. We're like, yeah, let's eat. Obviously, you know, it's a casino gig. So one good thing about casino gigs is always a free, especially if it's on the road, always a free hotel room. But no matter what it is, go eat whatever you want.
Yeah,
you
know, buffets.
It's usually like pretty great, actually, buffets.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually one of the best parts of them. Oh, Yankee Stadium right there.
Well.
Yeah, so we get there. We're like, cool, what do you want? I'm like, see, I'm looking. And it's like, hey, but it's still also something that's casino food. If it's not a nice casino, it's like, it's still casino food.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the salmon. Comes on a bed of fennel. I'm going to get a side of garlic broccoli. What were you going to get?
I was going to get the New York steak.
Oh,
with
delicious.
With just fries.
Just fries.
Yeah.
Yeah, and nope, turns out it's not that kind
no,
of
no, so you order.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah,
order, yeah, and sure. the host orders, and then I go to order, and he goes, I got to ask about that.
You're like, what
and
do
then
you mean?
And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you know, you can only get a couple of different items on the menu, but your orders are cool. But then when he comes back out, no one's orders were cool.
No one's.
And it was.
But I made a mistake. He goes, no, you can't have steak without it. I'm like, was the salmon okay?
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have said a word.
I know.
I shouldn't have said a word.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And here's the funniest thing was he said you could have these chicken parm, the steak sandwich, or you could have one other item. And the chicken parm was $2 cheaper than the steak, but we couldn't have that.
$2. And you're like, can I just pay the difference, $2? No, but I can't give you $10 off that. You're like,
yeah.
But when he said, I got to ask my manager, the manager came over and told us, and then he goes, let's talk to the chef and come back. And when the chef came back by, not the chef, when the waiter came back by himself, he goes, so my manager told me, I was always like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I know what he told you. That's why he's not here. The answer is no.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to give us the bad news. If it was good news, he'd be like, guys, turns out you get whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be there to let us know.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's the way.
Like, usually the manager would go, look, you know, I'm really not supposed to do this.
Yeah,
but,
I'm not supposed to do this because you guys look nice. You got a good show.
Yeah, yeah. It was hilarious, too, because everything was shaved off the gig. It was like, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, this and that and that. And all of a sudden, it was just nothing.
Then the minutes, too, the time.
Yeah.
Because I told Crisp ahead of time. I was like, got to do 85. And he was like, yeah, sure. Only book two people. And then I see three people, and they go, you're doing 45, Ari? I'm like, yeah. And so then Chris texted me. He's like, everything okay? I'm like, yeah, except that. There's no way I would have come here for 45 minutes. I just let you know, I would have done three spots in town easily.
Yeah.
What day is today? Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have just done three spots at 15 each. You know?
Yeah, it's comedy.
Yeah, it's comedy. And then it's just a straight casino gig, which is like all comps.
Yeah, yeah. It was a crazy casino. It was very sedate. Mm-hmm. Zero cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They could have dropped us off there, blindfolded us, and then took the blindfold off and said, where are you? And there would be no way I could guess. There would be no way, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to say, oh, 20 minutes, 30 minutes outside of New York. You would never say that. You'd be like, Oklahoma?
You're like, oh, yeah, yeah. I asked even too many, like, how many people had ridden on the subway or have ever lived in Manhattan, and they're like, no, not one.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, me too. I was like, really? Just here in Yonkers?
Yeah, yeah. Just people just...
It's like the Deep Valley in L.A. where you go, like, when they never come into Hollywood.
They never go to Hollywood?
It's like, really? You're so close. It's like, they just never think to it. Like, every 2 years they do it, you know?
It's weird how people think that 30 minutes is far. Like, oh,
I know,
man,
but it's one of those things. Even if people live in Brooklyn, they're like, it's just one train stop over there. I'm like, first of all, it's one train stop from the last stop in Brooklyn to the first stop in Manhattan.
Yeah.
But it's also like three to go from there and two more to go from wherever you want. But it just stops you. It's no one does it. People in Brooklyn hang out in Brooklyn. People in Manhattan hang out in Manhattan.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about your rent. So you got a new place, and it's how much is it?
Three,
yeah, and it's
$2,950 last year.
My last
year's place was $2,800.
Right,
and the radiator was so loud.
Oh wait, so this is your third place. So you have the first one for $19.
First one for $19.
And then you moved to another
place.
$18
actually. I'm not
and
sure.
Now you're on a third place.
Yeah, I'm on a third place.
Holy shit, one a year.
But this year is when I finally re-upped. So the radiator was so loud. I can't do it here because the people are driving. But like. It was like this in the middle of the night, probably seven or eight times a night, just bang, 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 bang.
Whoa.
And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. So that started in like late October. And I was like, hey, what is this? Can you fix that? And they're like, you know, it's just normal radiator stuff. I'm like, no, it's worse. I'm like, no, it radiators creak. I'm like, that's different. And then the fixer guy came up. He's like, let me hear it. I'm like, it'll happen, man. If you just stay here for 30 minutes, it'll happen. And then he started going, it was like, tunk, 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 tunk. He's like, that's normal. Like, that's just the warning sign of what's about to happen. That's the Israeli flyover before they bomb a fucking, you know, building. That's not what's happening.
Yeah.
And so.
So you move out of there.
So, and then they were going to raise my rent $300 from 28 to 31. And I was like, no, guys, I want less. And also, you got to fix that radiator. There's like nothing we can do. I'm like, and then I put it out on Twitter, on my podcast, some engineer, some like structural engineer, whatever, he goes, oh, they got to clean the, or empty the release valve or something like that.
Right.
He was like, I know what that problem is.
Right.
Here's what
it is. It's the metal flexing, right?
Yeah, you got to tell them how to do it. Like, here's what they need to do. And I'm like, okay, and I told them, they're like, oh, I don't know if we can get in there. I'm like, guys, come on, just do it. I mean, I can't sleep. I'm like, I'm sleeping in the fucking, on my couch sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I can't sleep like this.
Yeah.
And then they want to raise the rent $300. And I'm like, no. And they're like, so are you going to re-up? I'm like, I can't live here at all if you can't fix that. Like, so are you going to re-up or not? I'm like, I'm telling you I can't live here if you can't fix that. Are you not going to fix it? Like, we can't fix it. I'm like, okay. They're like, yeah, then you got to go. I'm like, okay. And then I said, well, do you mind if I stay? Let's say my rent ended in May. The year ended in May. And they're like, do you mind if I stay until, or no, it wasn't May. It was like April.
Yeah.
And so I was going to be gone for the winter. And I was like, would you mind if I re-up until like May? Just an extra 2 months. And this was like 5 months out.
Yeah.
I was like, do you mind if I, and they go, no, it's a year or nothing. And
wow.
I was like, really? You're not even going to let me at the current rent or even at the higher rent. Like,
wow. Yeah.
And then just do it then. And they go, no. I'm like, ugh.
And that's another thing about
New
York.
It's 1 year, and every year you got to re-up for another whole year.
That's crazy.
There's no month-to-month after the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts,
There's
right?
no month-to-month after the year. I forgot about that.
What is that? What
I don't know,
is
so
that?
You got to decide. And then if you're like casually looking for a place, you can't.
Yeah,
you have
no.
to say, like, I'm moving and I will find a place this month or I'm out on the street.
Oh my God, that is fucking crazy.
Because they're finding new tenants.
And what sucks about that is you'll just settle for something.
Yeah, you'll settle for it. Exactly. So you really have to, like, almost like look. Well, you can't even look casually. It's like in LA, you can look casually. And if you find a place, here's one full month. So maybe there's like 3 weeks of overlap where you're paying for both, but you're going to a nice new place.
Totally.
This, it's. A year. You have to look for like 2 months in advance.
So you're loving your new place?
Mm-hmm. Love the new place. So this started at $2,950. The other place would have been $31. And so I was like, well,
Is it impossible to find something good for $2,000, like a studio?
No.
Something good?
No. Mm-mm. I don't think it is. It depends where, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to Bushwick, you can find stuff.
It's it's far, right?
It's a little far, yeah. It's not even this bad. Astoria, you can get nicer places with more room.
Yeah.
That's a little far, too, but it's like there's things to do around there. It's just really just far to get into Manhattan. So as long as you're committed to, like, that's why people have these satchel bags.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going to have some stuff with me.
Yeah, for the day.
Yeah, a book, your podcast equipment if you want or whatever. It's like, I'm not going home. Yeah. I can go home.
Yeah.
I like living in Manhattan. I like living walking distance away from all the clubs.
That's what it's about, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. Although, Brooklyn is pretty fucking cool, man.
Brooklyn is cool, right?
Yeah, cool vibe, cool people there.
But it's pricey out there now because it's so hip.
Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Williamsburg is more expensive than Manhattan.
How far is Brooklyn on a train ride to Manhattan, like you're doing the stand?
They're doing the stand.
Yeah.
If you live in Williamsburg, you take the L, you're talking about three stops.
Four?
Three stops.
That ain't shit.
No, I'm saying it's like Bedford, Lorimer, First Avenue, which is my stop, and then Third Avenue, which is a stand stop, and then you walk up five blocks to the stand.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean it's really quite close, Williamsburg. But now if you go further north or south, then you got to get a train to get to the L.
Right.
You know, or if you go to Bushwick, which is also on the L, but depends where. But it might be a 12-minute walk to the L.
Right. And then if it's snowing and raining,
yeah,
that's eat dicks, miserable. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
and also they're taking the L out of commission.
I know for a year and a half. Or
Yeah.
That's gonna be crazy, right?
Yeah.
How do you get over it once the L's done?
I mean, I can go down to the F. It's not gonna be great.
Take cabs.
Maybe, but I mean, I don't
you're not
take
moving,
the L
no?
much. If I'm going to stand up in New York, no, I'm not moving. So this is the first year they raised it $100 from $29.50 to $30.50.
Yeah.
And I was like, reasonable. I love this place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm staying.
It's kick ass.
Yeah. They're not raising it 300. They're raising it 100, and it's fucking great. As soon as I walked in, I was like, I'm taking this. But I had to pay for a broker, 10%. So I had to pay, you know, $4,000.
Did you have to get a co-signer on this one?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've got my own show. It was going into its second year.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you don't make enough.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Your own show
my
on
own show.
TV.
And that's not my only income. I also have the road.
I do
better on the road than I do on the show.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, granted, a 12:30 a.m. show is not quite as...
Still, when people in Hollywood see that you got a show, you just move right in.
Yeah, I also had to show clips of, clippings of my show. Like, this is what I do. It's reasonable. Like, I'm on this thing. Here's a press release. I've been picked up for another year.
Wow, this is like a real show. That's incredible. I can't even believe what you're
telling
me.
They want to see tax returns. They want to see...
Wow, real shit, huh?
Yeah.
Man, it's not like L.A. where you can just, call the store. Yeah.
I remember the first time I was looking for a place. I think it was the first year. It might have been in between the first year and the second year. I'm forget now. But I was hanging out in Tompkins Square Park looking on a probably a smartphone. So it had to be at least 2 years ago. It definitely wasn't this year. And I called some place and they're like, what do you do? I was like, and I was like, you know, because then it's like... comic, but there I'm like, listen, I'm not like a regular comic. Like I actually work.
Yeah,
I'm a working comic. Like I make
a
living.
Can you just say I got a TV show instead?
Well, when people ask me what I do, I'm a comedian. That's
saying for realtors.
But this is just like TV. This is just like I would walk up and down places and call everyone every Craigslist thing and like, what do you do? I was a comic. I'm like, I'm sure you hear that a lot, but I'm not like that. And she goes, no, I've done this 10 years. I've never had a comedian call me.
Wow.
Because. The city's so big and so full of all sorts of people. It's not like
it's not like every
actor who's getting out of it is like, I'll try stand up for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's actually a thing.
Yeah.
Here and it's a small.
Now, is your place? Are the bills included, like heat and water and all that?
Heat, water, yeah. Some places are not, but heat and water is included. Yeah.
Oh, so that's a little bit of a deal. And then you don't have a car, so no insurance, no gas.
But yes, public transportation. So if you get the pass, the
how month, much is month it a pass, month? The pass,
$40.
$40.
That's
not bad.
How much is insurance?
Oh shit, man, mine's fucking $60 a month on the motorcycle.
$60 a month?
Yeah, rip off.
What about a car?
On a car, it's like $100 a month.
So you're saving, but not saving that much. And plus, with the pass and the occasional cab, it's pretty.
Yeah, and it's the same.
You know?
Yeah, because in your mind, but no car payment or gas.
Right.
You know?
No gas is great.
And no parking.
Yeah.
No parking.
But that's also easier. Like once you're at a place, you're at a place. There's no like, oh, I gotta fucking figure out what to do with my car,
right?
drive around looking for a meter. None of that. And there's no parking tickets. That's another thing that is actually a real thing in L.A. Like, twice a year, you're getting a $60 ticket.
Oh, yeah. They get in the boot.
Yeah, and you're like, what? Oh, I misread the sign.
So you're going to stay in this one.
I'm staying here for a while.
You're pretty much an East Coast comic now, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost less bi-coastal now than, like, New York. But see, I have to go to L.A. Well, so I went to L.A. every year for the winter. And I'll do, like, a 4-month winter instead of a 3-month winter.
Yeah.
Late December. One year I went early January, and I stayed till like late April that year. This year I came back April 1st.
You were
still
going
pretty
just
cold.
To get the fuck out of the cold?
Too cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, too cold. But then also I have like my show to shoot.
Yeah.
Or I'll have meetings or I'll have something to do in LA. So it's like I go there a lot.
Yeah.
One year I'd do my special, and I didn't want to just go do the original room. Like, one time for my special. I have too much respect for that room. So I'm I got to be there for 3-4 weeks and get used to that room again.
Totally.
And then do it. Like, I'll respect it, right? So I stayed in LA for like, I taped it in October and I stayed there for all of October.
Yeah.
I taped it, I think, October 20th. I got there October 1st, you know? So there's reasons I go back more, but generally it's 3 months to 4 months of the winter and then here or there the rest.
Yeah.
So even when I'm here though in New York, I'm on the road a shitload. I was just in Europe and Scandinavia for 2 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, where was that? Tri-coastal? I don't know.
Tri-coastal.
Yeah.
So, no more smartphone for you either, which is strange for being in New York and traveling a lot. I can relate to what you're saying. I'm fully addicted to this cell phone. I know it. And do you think it's out of boredom?
Some of it's boredom.
Yep.
I've thought a lot about this.
Yeah.
Some of it's boredom. And so what happens is, if I'm sitting here, let's say I'm sitting in the back of this car or back of a cab.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and then you're just like, you don't like that feeling of being bored.
Yeah.
So 10 years ago, you'd go, you like being a cab driver? I don't know. You would do something.
Yeah.
To get you out of that boredom.
Look out of the window.
You look out of the window, sure. Maybe observe your surroundings, get your mind to wander, whatever it is. But if you're bored on a plane, you don't just sit there and stare straight ahead. You talk to someone next to you.
Yeah.
Or you would get a movie.
Yeah.
You do something to stop that boredom. But now it's just, I'll just disappear into this for a while. And literally time will just move forward.
Yeah.
It's almost time travel.
Like you were saying that you were staying in bed when you woke up in the morning 2 hours before you got out of bed.
2 hours. Just shifting through Facebook, before Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You know, MySpace, not MySpace, email, just, and then do the loops over and over again.
Yeah,
and then write a tweet, and then like, and then check your text, then check your email, and then like, well, let me see what the tweet got.
Yeah.
And then respond to a couple of those responses.
Yeah.
And then like, what am I even doing?
Yeah. It's evil, right?
I can still tweet from this, but I can't check responses.
Yeah.
Everybody who says I need Twitter for business, like, why do you have to check the responses though?
Yeah.
That's for ego. That's not for business. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Rogan said that once, but he was like, When I told him, he's like, well, I couldn't live without Instagram. And I was like, you did 6 months ago before you got an account.
Yeah.
I was like, this year you didn't have an Instagram. What do you mean you couldn't live with it?
Yeah.
Without it. And it's like, and then he understood too. I was like, okay, fine. You gotta post. Do you have to check what people say? And he was like, yeah, you're right. I don't.
Yeah.
But that's what you do just to fill that boredom. And here's the thing, though, man. If I'm bored, I will be social.
Yeah,
I will force myself out of that boredom in a social way, and I'm telling you.
And then you're right.
Oh yeah, for sure too. Because it's like, what am I gonna do? Well, let me do some work. Let me clean my room. Let me write. Let me do something. The day I got this, I was more social.
The flip phone.
Instantly, I was at the stand talking to everybody, and Nikki Glaser was like, "Is it like?" And I'm like, "I would right now be disappearing and checking my email."
Yeah. My mind would be off.
You see it all the time. You see people under their tables, like, you know.
I've done podcasts with people, and they're on their phone while we're podcasting.
Yeah. So I was like, "Turn it off."
Yeah.
It's not like sometimes like, look, I can't. I'm too busy. I got to do this stuff right now. It's like, okay, fine. Handle your stuff. I get it. We're living in a different era.
Yeah.
So if you're on business right now, if you're promoting something, you have to be constantly emailing your manager and different people. Then fine, that's what you're doing. But not while you're out. I was in Edinburgh. I kept calling Michelle Wolf on it. She kept taking her phone out and look at what she was doing. If she was writing Trevor Noah, you know, something she had to do for business, I'd let it go. But if we're all out at a bar and I see her checking like the Instagram feed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, Michelle, no. And she was always like, you're right. Because I'm like, what are you doing? You have disappeared from actual human connection. To go to what? Stuff you're going to see later anyway when you're at home before you go to bed. You're going to go through all that.
Yeah.
Check it once a day.
Yeah.
What are you checking with everyone else? Instagram? That's for the toilet, man.
It's crazy, right?
And you can't help it. It's not her fault.
It's drugs. Well, they've proven it.
And everyone 100%. Tells me, like, just use it less. And it's like, okay.
You can't. It's like the dopamine.
Yeah. And then what I do is I wait for those people. Chris Italia told me that. He was like, just use it less. I'm like, that's like saying keep cigarettes in your pocket and don't smoke.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. So I'll wait for him. And then I'll see him at a show. And I'll see him texting or tweeting or something or on Facebook. And I just lean over his shoulder and go, addict. Just use it less, huh? Because he's like, I don't use it when I don't have to, and I'd wait for them to actually use it when they really shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because they don't point out, they don't think about those.
Yeah.
They think about 1 out of 10 of those times.
I've gone to dinner with people and not had one conversation. All of us are just on our phones.
It's sad when you look up, when you're done with your tweet, you know, and you look up and you see none of you, and you're almost like, this is sad. And you realize, yeah, but you also just got off.
I know.
You know? And you feel better than everybody because you're not doing it right now.
Yeah, it's so funny.
When you see people take a picture, they take a picture, they instantly walk away because it's almost embarrassed to, like, be doing this.
And yeah.
Like,
Yeah, so you got the flip phone, and way cheaper too, right?
I mean, yeah, but that's not the biggest issue.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
But I'm constantly buying new phones because it's like, oh, this sucks for this reason. Let me see what else is out there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so. I remember I was doing research for you, looking for the best one.
Like, what about this? I'm like, that's just a fucking phone. Yeah, I had to switch from the Gravity 3 to the Gravity 2. But I had the Alias too. It was the best one. It was the best one.
Yeah.
Double flip, but it's Verizon. Verizon doesn't get reception in my kitchen or bathroom.
Oh, really?
So then it was like I was stuck as a prisoner at the end of my apartment. If I was like, oh, hold on, I need some water, I'd be like, I got to put the phone down for a second and go to my sink and come back.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
So you're loving New York. That's great. I love it here.
Great. Look, people are out all the time.
I love it here, man. I was here in all of August.
Yeah.
And I did about 21 shows, and now I'm here again. I'm going to do, I think, like 15.
Oh, how long are you here for?
I'm here till next Wednesday.
So that's, what day?
It's like 2, 3 a night or whatever.
Oh, see, it's amazing. You can't get that time in L.A. Yeah. Maybe occasionally you can do a spot factory store.
Well, I get lucky a lot at the store where you can do like a couple of those shows in the belly room and then your O.R. show.
Yeah, but sometimes. But it's not sometimes. It's on my schedule. I'm definitely doing 3 tomorrow.
And also here, I think that you need to do comedy on both coasts to open your mind.
But that's the thing, too. You end up doing tricks. Big J pointed this out. I'm not going to say who he talked about, but he said that guy was an L.A. hack, and it was somebody I used to really respect. I respected him then. Now he's slipped a little bit, whatever. But he was talking about then, when I respected the then stuff. And I was like, what do you mean L.A. hack? He goes, dude, you know how when you talk about like local material comics, when they're like, oh, Main Street, don't get me started on Main Street. Oh, yeah. That's with all the gays. You know, and everyone knows only in Boston they know that. You know?
Totally, yeah.
He goes, nobody in the world knows what an Armenian is.
Yeah.
Only L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
You're doing jokes that no one can relate to. Yeah. And you guys all think you can because they're there. And I'm like, oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you start doing only there. If you don't go on the road, you don't know this stuff is bombing because no one's going to know what the fuck you're talking about.
That's what's really...
You do both coasts.
That's what I'm loving about doing the East Coast because it really makes you strong. You got to look at your material and go, this isn't going to work, or I'm going to make it work in this way.
Yeah, exactly. Tweak it, do whatever.
Yeah, so exactly. Tweak it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Make it work for both.
Yeah.
So you don't get stuck. That's what Rock did. We worked out all this great specialties, just old age homes and do whatever.
Whatever
we could. We like, make this work everywhere.
So you got, this is not happening, it comes out, this will air on Monday, so it came out.
Every Thursday for 10 weeks.
10 weeks, and are you going to do another season?
Yep, been picked up for another season.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You think I'll ever get on?
Maybe. It's a question of this with the white guys.
I know.
A question of this. No, it's a question of this, where they have their favorites.
Yeah.
And they have celebrities.
Yeah.
And the big major comics mostly are white guys. So obviously they want a star. If I can get Joe Rogan.
Of course.
If I can get Bill Burr, we're getting them.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And there's not many of those big stars that are not white that will also do this show.
Right.
You know?
It's a hard show.
Kevin Hart ain't going to do it. Schumer ain't going to do it. Silverman ain't going to do it.
Right.
So what you have is you have a glut of white dudes, and then you're like, we don't all want just white dudes. And I don't want that either. That's boring.
No, not at all.
So then it's like they have their favorites, the Kyle Kinanes, the Moshe Kashers, I guess me now, Big J, whatever. I wasn't always one, you know.
Yeah.
And they were like,
isn't it strange that now you are like loved over there?
Yeah, it's weird, for sure. Stuff just changes. Pendulum swings.
Yeah, right.
Once I gave up on them, that's when they came around. And
when you don't need them anymore, right?
Yeah, when I started doing it on my own. So then, if they're like, well, I don't really know that guy, like Steve Simone, good example.
Yeah.
They never.
You've had him on twice though.
Yeah, this year he did the same.
So that's great. You got a little power,
last year was
right?
Like a little bit of like a, he didn't really have any TV credits. And it was like, well, that's your guys' fault.
Yeah.
You missed the boat on him.
Yeah.
So let's not chase that mistake with more mistakes by not booking him. And they're like, I don't know. And so then what I have to do is I got to get a tape from him. A tape of him killing. So they go, I don't know about this guy. And I go, I know you don't. So let me just show you right now.
Yeah.
It's almost like if they were like, I need somebody who's going to shoot foul shots. I'm like, you're good. And I'm like, let me show you a tape of you hitting 19 foul shots in a row.
Yeah.
And at that point, they'd be like, oh, okay. Well, then maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't expect Dean to be able to, like Paul Morrissey.
Yeah.
If I wanted him on my basketball team, it's like, he's not good.
Yeah.
But he's actually really good at basketball. So I'd have to show you a tape for me to let him on my basketball team. Because there's no way that fat redhead is going to be good. But then he is. So then I'm like, oh, we can have him.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can get my friend, people like that on. I need the ammunition to go to them and say, look at this.
Yeah.
And then it still boils down to if there's four people on a phone call.
Of course.
And two are like, I like him. One's like, I don't really like him. It's just over.
They all just,
It's just over.
Yeah.
You have to pick your battles. You only get one or two. and it's not worth a fight on every single person. So then if two people are like, eh, no way, then you're like, yeah, it's done. So those tapes really help. That's what Brett did. That's how Brett got on the show. They were done with Brett.
Yeah.
And then we showed him a great tape.
That Brett Ernst.
That story he did. And they were like, oh, yeah, okay, we like that. That's pretty fun.
Right. Good
childhood story, really interesting, different than most of the stories we get, and funny as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's why I need his ammunition to get people on.
Well, shit, I'm at my stop.
Right,
and
buddy.
I can't thank you enough for all your help, dude. For real. Yeah. Like, over the years, I really look up to you, and I really learned so much from you, man. Like, no bullshit. It's I look at you as, like, one of the high watermarks, and it's great because you're doing it your way, and it's incredible. And thanks, and...
yeah, you're welcome. If you want SSD, you're more than welcome to pay you back that way.
Yeah, yeah. I'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow.
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 Oh, yeah, 11:30.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
All right, bud.
See ya. All right, here we are, another episode of Let There Be Talk. This is live from the Roxy, 30th anniversary of the Cat House. And if you don't know what the Cat House is, I had Ricky Rackman on a couple years ago. It was definitely one of the most insane clubs of all time. I was talking to it with my buddy here, Billy Rowe from Jet Boy. How are you, bud?
Good, how you doing?
Good, and... We said that it was it goes Cat House LA, Limelight New York, and Terminator San Francisco.
That's right.
Yeah,
those were the biggest.
Now, of course, we're here. I'm hosting it with Ricky, and there's some insane bands playing tonight.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, it's gonna be really amazing. Little Caesar's playing.
Yep.
Jet Boy.
Mm-hmm. Junkyard.
Junkyard. Which I was one of the craziest episodes ever.
Yeah, that was a good one.
When Rhodes was on. Anyway, Cat House was at two different venues. I only went to the one that was on, Highland?
Highland. It was the Probe.
Yeah, I never went to the other one. Did you go to the other one?
Yeah, I used to go to the one when Ricky and Tammy first started.
Right.
It was at this place called Osco's. It was across from where the old record plant was, down on, I think it was 3rd Street.
3rd Street and like Beverly or something, or La Cienega.
La Cienega. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it had like, that was, you know, it was started getting packed, but it was like, you know, in the early days, it was, you know, just the sparse bands and all that.
Yeah.
And people hung out in the new scene, what was going to become the huge scene.
Yeah, the new scene. What year are we talking? I can't remember. We'll ask Ricky.
I want to say 86, late 86 maybe.
Right, because you
87,
guys...
87, 88 for sure was like when it started getting piping hot.
And now, Jet Boy, what year do you guys move from San Francisco?
86.
86, yeah. So yeah.
So it was around then.
The Big Cat House isn't until the next venue. Because that's the one where the bands played, like GNR and fucking all that shit.
Yeah.
That one was probably...
That was insane.
I talk about it over and over because it seems for real, you and I have known each other for 30 years or whatever. It seems like another lifetime ago.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't even imagine how insane life was back then. It seemed like there was no rules. There was no laws. It was just drugs.
There weren't
loud music. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We were full on sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
I know.
As cliche as it sounds now, that's literally what it was.
Now, you guys are going to play, what are you playing, four songs?
Yeah, we're doing four. I think everybody's kind of got four songs. It's short sets.
And you did the Cat House at Irvine last year, Irvine Meadows.
This is
a little cooler, though, because that was during the day. The sun, it was about 119 out.
Yeah,
that was the worst, right? There's nothing
terrible.
Worse than sun and rockers.
Oh, man, it was brutal.
It never mixes.
Nah.
No, every That's time. Tough. You're seeing like your idols in the sun, and you're going, whoa.
Yeah, see, down the greens, they were in the Bay Area, and it was cool there.
Yeah, it was cool. Nice like,
nice and cool breeze.
Light
breeze.
Yeah, breeze would throw through. Yeah,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
I love one of my favorite episodes is when you were on the show and we talked about Day on the Green. Of course, you were in the van crash and didn't get to play it.
Yeah, that Day on the Green.
I don't think I could handle it.
It was rough, man.
I mean, if it was my lifelong dream to play Day on the Green,
it's still rough.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know?
It's yeah.
But
But we're alive.
But we're alive, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, what songs are you guys playing?
We're doing, Feel the Shake, of course.
Yeah, Feel Shake.
And what else?
You guys
Heavy
ever play,
Chevy.
You ever play Don't Touch My Hair?
We were doing that in there when we like kind of started playing again. We did it a few times.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a trip play, that stuff.
That's so
that shit
old.
Was fast.
And in the alley, right? That was
in
one,
the alley. Yeah, in the alley. That shit was like all way up tempo.
God damn. Old.
Dude, those days.
Old world, right?
Right? Uh-huh.
Yeah. God damn, man.
Super fun. But Cat House, this is going to be great, man. I can't believe it's 30 years.
30 fucking years.
I mean,
years.
We played Cat House for the Damnation record release, which was 89.
Wow.
That's when Lemmy got up with us.
Lemmy.
Did Great Balls of Fire.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
No shit at the La Cienega one? I mean,
the Highland one? At the Probe, yeah.
Wow.
That was amazing.
Did you guys hang with Lemmy a lot back then?
Yeah, we hung with a lot. Like, you see all this Lemmy stuff now. He was super into the band.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
I remember picking him up in my old Suburban, picking up a bottle of Jack, and he sang some backing vocals on some demos.
No shit?
Yeah, yeah.
On your demos?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember going to pick him up at his apartment down the street here.
Yeah, yeah.
Harrod or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In that apartment when he opened the door in them shorts.
Oh, man.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And then he pulled
Daisy
out his
Dukes.
Buck knife. And he stuck it in a big wad of speed.
Yeah.
And he goes, "You want any?"
Yeah.
And I go, "No, thanks." And he stuck it in his mouth and pulled it back with his lips and shouted out with
a
shot of Jack. I was like, whoa.
Pure rock.
Pure rock.
Pure rock.
He didn't fuck around.
God, man. It's so such a bummer, man. He's gone.
Unreal.
Yeah, man.
It's such a bummer.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I saw one of the last shows with Saxon,
Saxon.
Saxon.
Biff.
What a band, right? Can you feel the power?
Oh, man. The Stone. Wheels of Steel.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man. Those days.
Unbelievable, man.
Classic.
You know what's great is that we're here and just 30 years later.
Yeah.
There's no way you think.
No.
When I'm in the Cat House back then and I'm completely loaded, there's no way I'm thinking... When I'm 50, I'll be at the 30, man.
30
you know what I mean? Right. There's no fucking
way.
You're not even thinking about being alive past that night.
No, but everybody made it, you know? It's just unbelievable.
Everybody made it.
For
the
most part.
Yeah, yeah.
A few casualties, but, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And
everyone looks good and you know, rock and roll. It's like it keeps you at a certain level.
As cheesy as it sounds... Rock and roll really keeps you young in your mind.
Yeah.
In your mind.
Yeah.
Because you know those people that didn't play music and stuff? We all went to school with them. You go to the reunion or whatever and you're like, whoa.
They're the ones you're like, ooh, whoa.
Yeah.
What happened to them?
And we still like, we dress like it's fucking high school still.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? We walk in and they'll say, you haven't changed at all. And you're like, yeah, thank you.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That's when you know it's in your blood. It's a real deal. When you roll into the high school reunion, you know.
Exactly. Still going to the shows and still got the pictures on the walls.
Yeah, yeah. We got to get your ass down here, man.
Oh, yeah.
San Francisco's over.
It's over.
It is.
It's been over.
It is, man.
Deathland.
Are you going to, now you sell guitars, rock and roll relics, if anybody's looking for an amazing, amazing guitars. You going to NAMM show this year?
Yeah, we're doing NAMM again.
That's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there. I love when you come down for NAMM.
Oh, it's fun.
We just have a good time.
It's a lot of work, but it's fun. But yeah, I got to relocate down here.
Yeah, yeah. I'll help you, dude.
Yeah,
I'll help you.
It's going to be good.
I'm going to grab some other dudes, and then we'll watch a couple bands, and then
good
come
times.
Back. You'll kind of co-host with me tonight on this.
Good.
All right, buddy. All right. Thanks. We'll be right back. All right, back into it right here at the Cat House 30th anniversary. A guy walking in right now that I've known probably about... I don't know, 25 years.
Since 1990, I think.
1990, right? I was looking for a guitar player.
Yeah,
Mike Varney hands me a few demos. I said, wow, this guy sounds fucking great.
Horrible. Let's bring him out and torture him.
you were living in Chicago.
Yeah.
You come out you audition for the band.
Right.
And you've been out here ever since.
Ever since you
Alex Kane, LSD.
And Dean Del Rey was actually the very first person on earth that gave me the impetus to move from Chicago to figure out you can get on a plane and change your life. And I slept on your couch, I think, for like 2 months or whatever it was. And
Yeah.
We had some fun and did some good shows. And that was a great band. And I'm still buddies with Eddie and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. We picked you up in a limo. I think
we had
drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was so
and
weird.
And I was all like, oh, I'm in California now. Because, you know, Chicago people, we're just like really arrogant farmers, but we don't know anything, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm in a limo and there's drugs.
It's funny because a lot of people, I'm dying. We're going to have you on a full episode here in a few weeks.
Awesome.
But you were in an incredible band called LSD,
yeah.
Signed a record deal. What were you on, Warner Brothers?
Well, Reprise, but it's...
Yeah,
it's,
Reprise, it's, yeah, Warner, yeah, Brothers. Exactly, yeah. And after we stopped playing together, you kind of just stay in town. And I guess you had a band, LSD, in Chicago and somehow moved the guys out, or what's going on?
Well, that's what it was. Basically, I left Ghost Town to be in LSD was the
yeah.
more or less. But
yeah.
So they decided at one point, I'd already been out here, and then they got the bug.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd started talking on the phone and whatever. And, you know, I was a little bit nervous, like, oh, my God, my guy's from Chicago and we're going to come out to L.A. and what the fuck is going to happen then?
Yeah.
But it ended up, you know, working in our favor. And I appreciate that anybody would even, you know, such as yourself, remember, let alone compliment something that had no commercial success, but it still seemed to be artistically valid that we're
yep.
talking about.
The songwriting was incredible.
Well, thank you.
The singing was spectacular.
Yeah, he was great.
It was really wild. You had a guy, Stanley,
yep.
and I'm dying to get him on because, of course, if you ever saw the band, it was widely known. He played a homeless guy.
Well, it wasn't, I mean, that was the definition that sort of became put upon what it was he was doing. In all honesty, and I haven't really spoken about this much, at least not on microphone, but for him, I think the whole thing was a performance art thing.
Right.
And there was also, so it was never like, oh, I'm mocking the homeless. It was just, you said, his point was, don't judge a book by his cover.
Right.
And then everybody saw him and went, oh, it's a homeless guy. So the irony of that.
I got
you.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, well, no, wait a minute. You're disproving the point I'm trying to prove, that you can't judge a book by its cover. But he lived that, so no matter
he what. Really did, man. There was time where he never changed those clothes.
Never.
And he basically played it kind of like Sean Penn, I hear.
Yes.
When he
yeah.
does, like, you know, a role, he's got to be called Stanley or whatever. Yeah. You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
But it was unbelievably original. And it was really cool, and his moves were fucking yeah. next level, his yeah, moves.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, some songs like Some Fucking Shit Ass.
Sure, sure.
And what's that one? I Send Letters Home to Mom. What was that one?
Was it like a ballad?
Yeah, it was a ballad. Yeah, man, it was a great... Yeah, great. But I remember one of the best gigs I ever saw you play was you guys did the Concrete Convention
yes.
over here in Burbank at
yep.
the Hilton, and the band's playing, or no, he comes walking yep. into the fucking showroom yep. like this bum,
yep.
and then he's got like a megaphone or whatever, he's like, some fucking shit ass stole my money, you know, and then you guys just destroyed the place, man.
You understand this dynamic, and maybe your listeners, I don't know if they know, like, musicians, like his buddies or whatever, but like, once some good stuff starts to happen for you, it allows you to express a deeper, more exclamation mark version of yourself, of who you are. And so we had just gotten signed and we were playing on the same stage as Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
And so we really took all of that to heart and we really felt like, oh, we got something. So we went out there and we played super fucking hard. And you'll notice that with...
come on. I'm interviewing. Come on in here. I'm interviewing you next. Cat House 30.
What are you doing here?
Waiting for you.
What are you interviewing for?
Said, let there be talk.
Why didn't you fucking ask me, Dean?
Oh, I didn't know. It was
you know what would have happened if you asked me?
I've been looking for you for an hour.
You know what would have happened if you asked me to do your podcast in here? You know what I would have said?
What?
I would have said yes.
Oh.
At least if you would have asked me.
I didn't know it was a big deal.
Walk in here, he's doing interviews, talking to people.
I actually went to go get you, and you were down there because I wanted you to co-host.
Do whatever you want. I just would have liked to have been asked.
Oh, sorry, dude.
It's my last night to feel like I have power. No, I don't. So I want to just give me this opportunity. Just pretend like I have just a little teeny bit
dude,
of power.
Dude, we're so sorry, bro.
Hey,
we
listen.
Understand what you can do to our careers.
You could, yeah, man. And also, you can ask Billy. I said, I don't want to start it without Ricky, and then I went down and you were bringing that band on.
That band's really good, and I'm sorry you're not seeing them, but every band on this bill is good.
Jump on the mic right now because Alex is going to do an episode next month, so jump on and let's talk a little bit.
So we're swapping.
No,
right?
No,
go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
I'm doing a full episode, so you'll bring me on for just 2 minutes.
No, you've did a full episode, you fucking guy.
I know, and you know what I listened to? I listened to the entire show. Entire show.
Yeah.
With a Shark Island guy, because I never, ever listened to Shark Island. When I was a kid, I was a punk.
Yeah.
So when I used to go to Gazzari's and see Shark Island posters everywhere, I was like, well, that must be the Gazzari's band. And even when I opened Cat House, because we weren't a Gazzari's club, I never saw Shark Island. You know when the first time I ever saw Shark Island was? 2 days ago on the cruise.
Oh, did you see him?
Yeah.
How was it?
He was good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily my type of music, but he's still good.
Yeah.
He's a good front man. And I thought they were good. They seem tight.
That's
very tight.
Dude, I can't. I tweeted today, and it's an honor to be here, man. And 30 years. It's just insane. And Billy and I were talking about there's never going to be anything like it again.
That's why I'm making tomorrow the last night ever.
Ever? No more. No 40?
No more 40. We're rockers with walkers. Hey, you can use that.
Rockers with walkers.
Because I use nuts to butts all the time.
Yeah.
But no, I don't want to do it anymore. And because I always wanted to go out big. Like on Headbangers Ball, I never taped a last episode. You know, on Loveline, I didn't really... Yeah, I did tape the last episode, but nobody watched. So I never got to do, like, the final thing. And I don't care. I've done some great... I've had a lot of great TV jobs, and I've got a great radio job, and I've worked in NASCAR and all this stuff. But everything that I've done stems from the Cat House. And the cat... I mean, I've got Cat House tattooed on me twice. There's people here that have got Cat House tattooed on them. And it means so much to me, so freaking much to me, that I really wanted to give it a proper send-off. And I know that, and I know I succeeded. I mean, I know I succeeded.
It's fucking incredible. Sold out 2 nights without even telling anybody.
Without ever buying an ad.
Yeah. And
second night sold out in what is known to be impossible and not by scalpers, 4-ticket minimum, maximum, sold out in 11 seconds. The Cat House, Roxy, and Whiskey were the fastest sellouts on the Sunset Strip in history, and never was a band announced. That people don't know who's playing tonight.
Oh, I mean, man. That's what's so who's great. Playing?
Do you know who the headliner is?
Yeah.
Did I score?
No, you scored, dude.
Did I fucking
Let
score?
Let me tell you something, dude. I got goosebumps.
Because you know why? Because
right
nobody ever thought that it would be them.
Let's ask.
Nobody ever guessed.
How the fuck did you do it? Now, let's tell them, because this will come out on Monday, you know?
No, but I don't even feel... Should we talk about it now?
Yeah.
You promised you won't tell anybody else?
I'm not going to tell anybody, dude. This won't be out till Monday.
I wrote D.
Yeah.
And I told him that I'm doing the last Cat House, and I really would love him because I like D. Snyder. I love D. Snyder as a person and as a performer. And Twisted Sister never played the Cat House.
Yeah.
They were never any part of the Cat House. They're an East Coast band. They played their farewell show, and I was talking to D. Snyder. I'm like, man, what if I could? Nah. They're done playing. So I talked to D, and then I talked to his manager.
Yeah.
And they chart it. To me, it was very, very expensive. To them, it was not even expenses. It was so, like, no money. But I found a company like Death Wish Coffee, and Death Wish Coffee came aboard to help sponsor it, so I was able to afford them.
Wow.
And they gave me a ridiculous deal, too. I mean, it was so cheap. So it came together, and they played their farewell show.
Yeah.
Their farewell show, of course, on the East Coast. Their last show, and they're still going to play the fucking Cat House. And this is the only time they will ever be on the West Coast.
I can't believe
ever.
It. You know, we found out they went. That's Heidi. She works at Amoeba. They all went into Amoeba today. So she's like, she's like, hey, man, the Twisted Sister guys are in Amoeba today. All of them. And I was like, what? What are they doing there? And she's like, they're just here to look for one of the guys in the Dictators. And then I put it together, and I was like, wait a minute, man.
Oh, that's how you put it together?
Yeah,
he's playing?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it was I scored. And tomorrow, the last four songs are tribute to Motorhead.
Oh, I can't wait.
And
I can't wait.
I'm going to do a duet with somebody acoustically. And I can't sing that good, but I'm doing a duet with somebody that I am so happy about. And it's not who you're going to think. You'll never guess in a billion years because it's not really a rock guy.
Yeah.
It's somebody that's one of my all-time favorites.
Wow. I'll
Let me tell you.
Okay, tell me.
You won't tell anybody?
No.
Because maybe you don't even know who it is.
Huh?
Maybe you don't even know who it is
who
if
is
I tell
it?
You.
Who is it?
Shooter Jennings.
Oh, bad. What do you mean? He's an old friend of mine. Stargun?
I'm doing a duet with him.
Oh, man.
And then we're going to have some guys do some Motorhead songs, and it's a tribute to Lemmy, who was such a big part of the Cat House. And we're doing a Motorhead tribute with Motorhead's manager backing us.
Wow.
It's like, because Cat House was a big part of Motorhead and vice versa. I got to go bring on Little Caesar.
Okay. All right. And then come back up, and we'll talk some more.
I love you, dude.
I love you.
What a fucking great vent. All right, up here in the dressing room still, Cat House 30-year anniversary, an incredible old friend of mine, Mickey Finn, lead singer of Jet Boy. How are you, buddy?
Great, man. Great. I got a little glass of Jack Daniels here.
Yeah.
I don't drink Jack Daniels, but tonight I do.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Because I did back then.
Tribute for Lemmy.
Tribute for everything. Yeah. For Lemmy, Cat House, family night tonight. You know, Ricky made it a point to you know, let me know, like, compared to last year, which was Irvine Meadows, and it was really unpersonal, and there was a ton of bands that weren't from our day in the Cat House, and he's like, this time I want to keep it, you know, family, and it is. It's like family tonight, the whole backstage, you know, Junkyard, and you know, all the bands on the bill are awesome.
Little Caesar, you guys.
Yeah, just saw on a fucking amazing set by these guys.
Yeah, yeah. What are they called again?
Kids from Hawaii, Kings of Spade.
Oh, yeah, Kings of Spade from Hawaii?
Yeah, from Hawaii.
Dope,
they
man.
Fucking killed it. Amazing singer, the guitar players, drummer. A solid fucking band.
Last time I had you on the show right before you moved to Hawaii. How's that going?
Yeah, Hawaii's great. You know, I was there from, I lived on Maui and Big Island from about 99 to 2006.
Yep.
And just had a great journey there. I was doing my DJ thing and came back to LA in 2006 when this whole kind of, you know, 80s hair metal revival started getting big again. And, you know, I did about 7 years in LA, and then I just moved back to Hawaii 2 years ago. So, you know, I got a kid. I got a 10-month-old baby boy, my first kid.
Yeah.
That I know of.
And you're still riding?
And I fucking ride my Sportster.
Yeah.
I'm in the Kohopuna Motorcycle Club. We're 35 years strong in the islands. I'm the only Sportster in the club.
Yeah, yeah. Is it Harley Club?
It's a Harley Club, yep, it is.
Awesome.
Uh-oh, here's trouble.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Fernie Rod. Get Fernie Rod on the mic there. Fernie Rod.
I have a lot to say.
Oh, no.
I'm going to start with Mick. First of all, I want to tell you what a motherfucker. No, I'm just... Hi, Mickey.
I noticed you didn't return my call or text today.
And that's
thank you.
Well, I have an iPhone 5 and the battery's dying. It just dies every 10 seconds. So, yeah. I'm waiting
iPhone
for my
5.
7 Plus. 7
you,
Plus.
Yeah.
7 Plus. 7
you,
Plus.
Well, after we get paid for tonight, you'll be able to buy 3 iPhone 7s.
Yeah, yeah, you will.
So excited.
Big money on this gig.
Big money goes around the world.
Big money. Yeah.
What's up, guys? What are you guys talking about?
We're just talking about the Cat House, you know, and I'm talking about Mickey moving to Hawaii and shit like that.
Yeah.
Becoming a father.
Becoming a father.
Fatherhood.
Yeah, how's that?
Dude, nothing about how I've lived my life has prepared me for fatherhood. So I'm winging it.
Is it brutal?
I thought it was going to be way easier.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to be so hard. You better be ready to sacrifice everything.
And?
Yeah. And then now that I'm in it, I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I really do have to sacrifice everything. Fuck, man.
By the way,
sleep, number one.
I don't surf anymore. I don't fish. I just fucking,
it's called payback. For the fathering we had to do for you when we were growing up and you were the kid. And I was like, Mickey, no!
Dude, he's all into my collectibles and my DVDs. He knocks everything down every fucking day. I'm like,
kid already.
Man, I had to get a gate to block off the kitchen because he gets in the chemicals under the kitchen sink and all that.
Oh, you don't let him get into that stuff?
No, I learned it the hard way.
When we were young, there was no gates and shit. Yeah. You just tasted Ajax and moved on.
It was good parenting, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't
pee in the sink.
I missed
let's go check out Little Caesar.
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, guys, we'll be right back. Fernie Rod right here, Jet Boy, 30-year anniversary of the Cat House, and it's kind of cleared out now, and the insanity's gone. How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
And
great to see you, buddy.
One of my oldest friends, and I've been dying to do a full episode with you, and it just hasn't happened yet, but it will because I'm coming to San Fran in December. Like 17, 18, 19.
I promise.
I want to have you do the whole show.
I promise we will do it because there's a lot of fun stuff to tell. And just so, you know, people get an idea of the life, there's a lot of internal stories and really fun things.
Yeah.
I think you really
have the best memory of the band because when I had Billy on, I can't remember if I just sang like 2 days with you guys or was it 2 weeks or was it like... Because I remember I came in, we said, yeah, this is good, let's do it. And then I was riding the bus down to Tiburon, and then I was kind of like, ah, this is too far. My guy, I was like, I'm just going to. And also, I think I got a little cold feet, like, uh-oh, this might be pro. And I was still thinking about, you know, like keg parties.
Well, you know, the thing that killed me about you is that I thought, first thing I thought was like, what a, this guy is going to be, would be an incredible front man. His energy, his vibe, his thing is perfect. It's, but like any band, there's so many factors that have to go into a band to become a band.
Yeah.
Every band has all these weird things that fall into place for the band to be Motley Crue, for the band to be Guns N' Roses, for the band to be Jet Boy, for every band, everything, every person. Because when you look at it now, you go, well, logically, Mickey's the singer of Jet Boy.
I think it's a lot like the game of
logically, Fernie's the guitar player.
I think it's like Tetris, where these things are just dropping and they drop in the slots.
They really do.
And then it goes, you know how it goes to the next level? Well, that's the band. It becomes the band.
Yeah.
But before we go for, because I want to sit down and talk for a while. Do you remember, was I there one day, a couple weeks, a month?
You know what? It was actually short-lived. It was really quick.
Yeah.
It was quick. And I'll tell you one thing, though. You could have stayed in the band.
Yeah.
Because we were pretty much like, well, sure.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do anything. But I don't, I wasn't sure if, did Brent Turner have anything to do with any of the, you know,
no, that knucklehead? No, no, no. It was, we met him.
Or Jimmy, was Jimmy Modern around?
No, it was just kind of my thing where I missed a bus once because I was getting out of high school and I would run from school to get on that fucking Golden Gate Transit. And one day, if I didn't get there at like 3:15, I'd miss it and then it would be over.
So basically, you missed the bus.
I missed the bus, and then I was like, you know what, man? I don't know if I'm still in high school, and I'm fucking, you know, riding this bus, and I don't know these guys. We met at Motley Crue at the Shout at the Devil.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, at the Warfield.
And the thing is,
I remember jamming a few times. Plainly, one of them was we picked up Todd at his, like, mom's house or that apartment in, like, San Rafael. That was a weird scene.
Yeah, that was weird.
And I remember that. He just had a bottle of fucking booze on him right out of the gate, and I was like, and I was like, whoa, these guys are real.
This is... Oh, they're drinkers.
And
we know what was coming down.
Well,
the line.
We were drinkers too, but that was like day drinking.
No, that was like I have my wallet and I have my, you know, my pint. So even that was too much for me in the
end.
But here's what I wanted to ask you. So we're listening right now in the background, if you can hear that. That's Little Caesar killing it.
Killing it.
Killing it. And so I'm like, what happened? Who fucked it up? What industry mogul or thinking screwed it up that now there's no rock bands? There's no real that use the traditional approach with anthem rock and roll.
You know who fucked it up?
What fucked it up? Because I still trying to figure that part
out. A thing called greed. Greed fucked it up.
Because the band Creed? Band. Greed. Fuck Creed.
No, greed.
Oh, greed, greed.
Because
greed.
Let me tell you, once people found out that they could get these guys just in a fucking in the record company can just make some beats and a guy could come in, you know, interns, and a guy could come in and just rap over it for like $200.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And then they can make millions on it without any kind of touring or anything. They're like, this is the new shit.
It really, that's but still.
Yeah.
Why then did bands still stop playing? Is that why then? So you think,
that
shift caused such a major issue that bands were like, well, we're gonna play something else instead.
Yeah.
I also thought that a lot of, and I'll say this, a lot of you know, Caucasians, you know, got into the whole rap and the whole scene that they, you know, we want to be that instead.
Well, rap's the new, what's the new thing? It's just like when we were kids, metal and fucking and rock and
but
all
what
that.
What a departure from rock and roll and the energy and the vibe and the fun and the party thing. And again, the writing, because a lot of this stuff, what we do, what you're hearing with Little Caesar in the background, that was straight up, it's just straight up rock and roll.
Totally.
That's not overly complex, but meant to, it's for the party atmosphere.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was going to die out. I think, okay, there'll be rap, there'll be this, there'll be grunge, there'll be whatever, but there'll always be this underpinning of bands playing rock and roll.
Yeah.
And yet, somewhere.
Well, the people got older, and the kids were into rap. You know, that's what happened. The people got older, they stopped partying. They got kids and shit. They're like, I can't party anymore.
I can't do that shit anymore.
All right, so we're going to sit down. We're going to do an episode.
All right, we'll do more. We'll
I can't wait. All right, keeping it going, Cat House 30. One of my favorite episodes of all the Let There Be Talks happened about a year ago with my guest right now. Introduce yourself.
David Roach.
From Junkyard.
That's the one.
It's funny, I've done almost 300 episodes, and the response from that episode was incredible because you were the most honest fucking guy I'd ever had on that just laid out what the music business is, you know, the grinder.
Yeah, it's easier to tell the truth, and it always comes out in the end anyway.
Now, we're here at the Cat House 30. Can you remember the first time you played Cat House?
No.
No, that's great.
Or the second or the last.
You don't remember any of them?
No. I remember going to the club. I remember never picking up any chicks because, you know, Jet Boy and LA Guns were getting all the, you know, Faster Pussycat.
Junkyard didn't get any chicks?
No, never.
Really? You guys, early on, that was the spot, right? The Cat House? It was insane. You got any great memories on it?
I never went home. Yeah, look, my lack of words says it all. I had a good time every time I went to the Cat House.
I have zero
memory of any of it.
I'm sure
there's photographic evidence.
Yeah.
Other people, you might get a third person, you know, to fill in the details, but I'm sure it was all great.
Now, you're playing tonight, and you played last year at the Cat... Oh, you just played Hair Nation. How was that?
That was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was great. Now, are you going out on the road or anything?
We've got, what are you doing? We're doing Chicago and Green Bay at the end of the month. We're doing weekenders, basically, flying out. And
it's kind of firing up again,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And now, last time I had you out, did you have a new record come out?
We're working on that right now.
Yeah, because you had a song at the time.
Yeah, we released a single, Faded, and that's going to probably going to be on the record. And we got about 8-9 songs demoed up and ready to rock, and we're going to write a couple more and then get in there and take care of business.
I love you, man. Thanks.
I'm so tired of playing these songs for the last 30 years. It's going to be good to have some fresh material.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to see you.
Absolutely, Dean. Hey, nice show yourself.
Thank you, buddy.